The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Your daily source for in-depth business and investing news.
We are Business 1440, KYCR, Golden Valley,
a service of Salem Media Group.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump has declared a national emergency around the coronavirus, freeing up some $50 billion for state and local governments to respond.
I'm also asking every hospital in this country to activate its emergency preparedness plan, so that they can meet the needs of Americans everywhere. The hospitals are very engaged.
Meanwhile, physician Deborah Birx, that's U.S. Ambassador at Large and U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator, says they are trying to speed up the testing process.
Well, with the prior testing, it was taking several days because the test is slower. We believe with this test, because of its throughput, that the testing can be from start, remember it has to transport, to the laboratory that will run it. And then we're hoping that all can be finished within 24 hours, which is very...
And the president made his announcement yesterday at the White House. This is SRN News.
If you are experiencing hair loss, let this be the year to make a new hair's resolution. I'd like to introduce you to the only permanent solution to hair loss. IneedMoreHair.com. Hi, I'm Mike Greenlee, familiar voice with Minnesota hockey fans. If you have hair loss and want more hair, go to IneedMoreHair.com. You will find some of the most experienced hair transplant specialists in Minnesota. Their doctors have given patients from around the world, including some of the most prominent celebrities, a full head of hair, and they can do the same for you. Here's the best part. Their technique is so advanced, the results are guaranteed in writing, and their prices are the best in the business. Prices as low as $3 per graft. Their office is conveniently located in Eagan. IneedMoreHair.com will allow you to see a more confident reflection of yourself. That's IneedMoreHair.com. The consultations are free, and the results are amazing. Check out IneedMoreHair.com for complete details. That's IneedMoreHair.com. Experience you can trust. Prices you can afford. Let this be the year to make a new hair's resolution. Check out IneedMoreHair.com.
Wow, Pro-Life Across America is celebrating its 30th year of saving babies.
That's right. Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. We began 3 decades ago, and thanks to our supporters, we now have billboards, radio ads, and internet ads across the country.
So what have we learned in these 30 years?
No woman wants an abortion. Most feel panic, pressure, and alone. Our hotline receives an average of 200 to 250 calls a month. We connect callers with free, confidential, and life-affirming assistance.
Please help continue this legacy of support or post-abortion assistance. Visit us at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org. Or to donate today, simply press #250 on your cell phone and say the keywords pro-life. Pro-Life Across America, non-political and totally educational.
Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people.
The following program was pre-recorded and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
The Wall Street Business Network is on the air. It's the King Banyan Show. As an educator and former legislator, Professor Banyan steps out of the classroom and onto the airwaves to break down the local and national economic news that matters to you.
Just say what you got, man.
It's the King Banyan Show on Business 1440. Now, here's King Banyan.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show, Business 1440. We've been talking about jobs Saturday. Jobs report came out and was immediately ignored because everyone only wants to talk about coronavirus. And we'll do that too, but we're going to do that in the context of thinking about the Federal Reserve, which did a very extraordinary thing on Tuesday by cutting rates on a day other than a scheduled FOMC meeting. The Federal Open Market Committee can always meet by phone, and its rules allow it to vote electronically or through the phone or through a phone system. So they can take the action to reduce interest rates or increase interest rates without waiting for a scheduled meeting. Now, why would they do that? Well, one thing that they would have been watching carefully, I think, has been the path of interest rates. And as you've heard probably on many shows here on Business 1440 or some of our sister stations like AM 12A, The Patriot, where Mitch Berg will be on at 1 this afternoon. How many ads have you heard? Now's a great time to refinance your mortgage. My God, even I'm thinking of refinancing my mortgage because I think I can get a. You might even be able to find a rate below 3% from someplace. If not now, pretty soon. Why? Because the rate on 10-year treasuries, which I never thought would be below 2%, have now reached 1%. Was this clip, this is Mohamed El-Erian at Allianz commenting on the fact that maybe the U.S. is slowing down more than we think. And he's using a nice quick, this is a little 30-second analysis of interest rate differentials that I want to explain to you and why I think this might have been the element that convinced Jay Powell and others that they probably needed to act on the Fed funds rate. Go ahead and play that clip for me.
John, I look at another spread, and it's an important one. It's the difference between U.S. and Germany. Do you remember the days when that was at 280 basis points?
Yep.
240 basis points. We're below 150. And what that's telling you is that the bond market is also worried that the U.S. outperformance relative to Europe in particular is not going to be as great. So this is not just a generalized slowdown. This is one in which the U.S. also, unfortunately, is going to get dragged down more towards Europe. So be careful out there.
Now, El-Erian, who I understand there's some people who hear that accent are like, oh my goodness, but that's a very sharp comment. Because the supply shock is a global supply shock. Germany is just as integrated in terms of its supply chains as the United States. So if it is a supply shock only that was happening, why would the differential between the United States and Germany compress as much as it did? Because that difference in interest rates, as it compresses, is signaling a number of items. It's signaling not just that, it's not just signaling, if it was just a supply shock, those rates should move fairly much together. And yes, there is some catch in terms of a zero bound that maybe leads to perhaps some tightening of that spread. But a 130 basis point change in the differential between U.S. and German government securities is pretty much only explained by the possibility that the U.S. is going to get hit worse. So either you have to believe there's a difference in the integration of the supply chain that makes the United States more exposed to disruption than Germany is, which I don't think is true, or there's something maybe happening on the demand side that makes the U.S. more vulnerable than Germany. And that's possibly true. I tweeted to you the Austin Goolsbee piece, which hopefully you had a chance to read during the break. If you're not following us on Twitter, #KBRS is the hashtag we use to chat with each other, not just during the show, but throughout the entire week. #KBRS, King Banyan Radio Show. Thanks again for listening. We appreciate that. If you think that's possibly true, then you have a theory of the case that would lead me to believe that maybe the Fed did want to do something. Because as I said before the break, if it's a demand shock, then there's a reason why the Fed might choose to act. As you heard Jan Hatzius say just before the break, There's a risk aversion shock, and I want to talk about risk aversion in some detail, but let me get through this first. Jay Powell then goes on to, okay, so this happened on Friday. So on Tuesday, Jay Powell comes out, announces they have their meeting. They vote their 50 basis point cut, which is old news. I'm not spending any time. I didn't really want to spend much time talking about the what he said in the press conference. I'm not going to read you the report. But what I do want to read to you is two questions that were asked of him. And the first one is from Rich Miller of Bloomberg, and you probably heard this here on Business 1440, where you can hear Bloomberg during the week. But he asks a question that makes it sound like he's not getting what it is the Fed is doing. And I want you to listen to the question and the answer, and I want you to study it really carefully and see if you can hear the difference of whether or not Chairman Powell is talking about supply or demand. Let's play that first clip of Jay Powell, please.
Rich Miller with Bloomberg. Thank you very much for having the press conference. Can you take us a little through the reasoning behind the rate cut a little bit more in depth? You know, was there a discussion? Some commenters say this is a supply side shock. You know, the rate cuts are not particularly suitable for this. Others say, well, the supply side shock may morph into a demand shock. I wonder if you could just give us a little bit more depth on the reasoning behind the rate cut. Thank you.
Sure, I'd be glad to. So, the virus outbreak is something that will require a multifaceted response. And that response will come, in the first instance, from healthcare professionals and health policy experts. It will also come from fiscal authorities, should they determine that a response is appropriate. And it will become from many other public and private sector actors, businesses, schools, state and local governments. But there's also a role for monetary policy. Monetary policy can be an effective tool to support overall economic activity. We do recognize that a rate cut will not reduce the rate of infection. It won't fix a broken supply chain. We get that. We don't think we have all the answers. But we do believe that our action will provide a meaningful boost to the economy. More specifically, it will support accommodative financial conditions and avoid a tightening of financial conditions, which can weigh on activity. And it will help boost household and business confidence. That's why you're seeing central banks around the world responding as they see appropriate in their particular institutional context.
So before the Fed action, there had been a meeting of the G7 financial ministers, and I believe the central bank governors were on the call too. They did not get together in a particular place. They did this conference electronically. And the surprise by Friday was that very few others had acted along with the Fed. Canada did, Australia did, nobody else. In particular, the EU has chosen not to change their rates, which is why that compression that El Arian saw is partly there. 50 of those points are a response to the Fed's cut. And so anyone who thinks, in my mind, that there isn't going to be some decrease in economic activity, it's likely to be there. But the question is really, the question is really what happens on that private side. And one of the things that I think people should understand about the supply chain piece is there's a supply chain that goes in some direction. So we've been talking about the chain flowing from China to the United States or South Korea to the United States. To a lesser extent, because South Korea and Taiwan have been both very aggressive in dealing with the outbreak, the supply chain disruption may not be as large as I would have thought 3-4 weeks ago. So there's some question of what's happening there. There's a piece that I picked. It's from Keqian, which is a Chinese paper that's actually based around Wuhan. But I picked it up out of the Nikkei Asian Review. Starts with, lights go on, but no one goes to work. Local companies and officials are fraudulently boosting electricity consumption and other metrics in order to meet tough new back-to-work targets as the spread of the new coronavirus in China wanes, investigation has found. As cases of COVID-19 in the country slowed in recent weeks, local governments in less affected regions pushed offices and factories to get back to work, typically by assigning concrete targets to district officials. Company insiders and local civil servants told Cation that being pressured to fulfill impossible quotas has forced them to cook the books. Again, take every data point that comes from China with a grain of salt, then pick up the shaker and put some more salt on it. We used to measure output in China, but in Ukraine, when we didn't trust the data in Ukraine. What we did trust for data was what was happening with electricity consumption. And so they would tell us GDP was only down 15%. It was like, yes, but electricity consumption is down by more than double that. How do you explain that? Oh, we're getting more efficient at using electricity. No, you're not. And so we knew that those numbers were wrong. Well, China's doing it in the other direction. So there is a supply chain disruption. But there's also a lot of disruption that I think is happening on the demand side. And it's happening and you're going to see it first and foremost in travel and leisure. As people stop going out socially as much as they had before. The question is how much of that is going to happen. The question is how much is this going to help? But there's actually one more point to this that I need to raise of why the Fed might have done what it did. And then I'm going to tell you why it still worries me nonetheless, even though I think it's the right thing. I've got some serious worries about what the Fed is doing right now, and I'm going to explain to those to you right after this. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on Business 1440.
Limitless access to business and investment strategy. Listen to Business 1440 with our free app, your smart speaker, or with iHeart. Tune in. And radio.com. We live in the Twin Cities and invest worldwide.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Being a teenager is tough.
There's the constant pressure to be liked.
Endless worrying about college.
Cyberbullying, high expectations, all the negativity.
There's no question. Being a teenager is tough. And what do Minnesota's teens do when they want to block out the noise and clear their heads?
We play!
Research shows that teenagers who participate in high school sports have lower stress levels, more confidence, and greater self-esteem. And then there's the biggest benefit of all.
High school sports are fun.
Not just fun.
They're a lot of fun.
Encourage your teenagers to participate in a sport or activity when they go to high school. They'll stress less and smile more. And they'll be laying the foundation for a happier, healthier future.
This message presented by the Minnesota State High School League and the Minnesota Interscholastic Activities Administrators Association.
Are you a member of our rewards program?
Yeah, I had the card here somewhere.
We've all been there, rustling around for that rewards card you can't seem to find. At Business 1440, we simplified the process. All of the perks, none of the hassle. It's the Business VIP Fan Club, where you'll get early access to tickets for our events, exclusive content, prizes, and more. Sign up at TwinCitiesBusinessRadio.com.
In an era of fake news and misleading headlines, turn to a leader in accurate reporting, townhall.com. Get caught up with today's top stories, find brilliant commentary from our columnists, and have a laugh with our political cartoons at townhall.com.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show, Business 1440. By the way, your questions and comments, welcome, 651-289-4477. I'll address the coronavirus issue and the data that we would use for it in a bit. I think there's a real difference in how people think about that. And I was actually thinking in the car as I was driving in, perhaps a little explanation about risk and risk aversion is in order. So let me get to that a bit. But first, it's Job Saturday. We have to work our way through the jobs report. And I said before the break that the administration was kind of downplaying a little bit of this. So let me play for you. This is Larry Kudlow on Bloomberg yesterday after the report came out. And listen to how quickly they pivot from the quarter one information about the February jobs report to talking about what's coming ahead going forward. Let's go ahead and play Kudlow, please.
Labor market looks excellent, very strong. And incidentally, most sectors in the economy look strong. We're through the first 2 months of the first quarter, right? So we got January and February. And some of the China influence is already affecting us. But the numbers are probably better named by thought. You may be 2.5 to 3% in the first quarter. I know, as a realist, economic growth is likely to slow in the second quarter and maybe the third. I don't want to get too far ahead of it because some of these virus numbers in China come way down. Outside China, not so much. But I'm just saying the U.S. economy is very strong. 273,000 jobs, and as you know, Jonathan, with revisions, 358,000 jobs. That's a blowout, and wage rates still rising, and, you know, the blue-collar boom we've talked about, still there from these data. Middle-income, lower-wage people are outperforming their managers. Unemployment rate, 3.5% across the board, every single demographic group. So that's awfully good. Housing is improving. Building is improving. You had a lot of construction jobs in this report and a pickup in manufacturing. So, yes, the economic base is strong. The fundamentals of the economy is strong. We are going to see some issues coming up from the coronavirus. I get that. But I think for the United States, this is going to be a temporary problem.
Well, that's a key question, right? Is it temporary or not? But you heard he did play it down. That's not my usual ebullient Larry Kudlow that I'm used to getting when we do this. But instead, I would turn you to this morning's the front page of the Wall Street Journal, which, by the way, has a piece titled "China's Early Missteps: Fed Epidemic." As you might be aware, China and the United States have been having a little fight over journalism, free journalism, after China expelled three Wall Street Journal reporters, and people thought, would the Wall Street Journal succumb to that? This is on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. As doctors raised alarms, officials dragged their feet to take action against the coronavirus. Okay, if I'm a remaining Wall Street Journal reporter in China, I would probably be getting my luggage out right now, because I don't think you're sticking around very long. Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton, in an article titled "Virus Risks Darken Outlook for U.S. World Economies," the good news is the U.S. has a lot of momentum heading into this. The risk is that is this mutates into a more vicious cycle. And it is a real question whether or not it mutates or not. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in maybe the next hour when we talk about the Federal Reserve. But let me turn back to the employment report for a little bit longer, because I think the information within it is worth understanding. Average hourly earnings for all employees rose 9% to $28.52. Oh, year over year, that gives you a 3.0% raise in nominal wages. Remember that productivity over the last year has risen at about 1.25%. Prices have risen at about 1.5%. That 3% rate is what's really sustainable, for one thing. Secondly, and I think this is the point that people miss, this is again thinking about how do we actually collect this data. If you think about the jobs that were added in February, we noted that there was a large uptick in jobs in leisure and hospitality, particularly in restaurants. Well, restaurants are not known for paying $25 an hour to their workers. They're known for paying fairly low wages. So as you increase the mix of people in leisure and hospitality, as you increase the mix of people working in other services, you are likely to see a pull down in those wages. Second of all, we saw from the household side that more and more workers are re-entering the workforce. Our re-entry rate, to look at the household data for a second, the re-entry rate has increased. New workers are being brought into the labor force. When a worker who has been unemployed for a substantial period of time, or someone who had been working from home, or maybe had been helping with child rearing, when that person comes into the labor force and takes their first job, their wages are likely not to be at the average wage of everybody else that's there. So if you add one person at below the median wage, you're going to pull the median wage down. Below the average wage, you're going to pull the average wage down. An economy that's adding workers, it's still adding workers, is likely, in fact, to see these wage increases grow at lower and lower rates, unless the jobs you're adding are jobs that are in high value added, largely goods producing sectors. But manufacturing has been relatively weak, where those jobs would normally be found. The construction sector has done reasonably well, but the construction sector is only a third the size of the manufacturing sector. Well, probably 40% the size of the manufacturing sector. So, on balance, the jobs we're adding are probably at a level below where the existing wages are. Wage increases maybe are not happening altogether that fast, but perhaps many of those workers, instead of taking wage increases, are taking compensation in other ways. Maybe they're taking additional benefits. Maybe they're taking additional time off. Maybe they're negotiating with their employers to get paid family leave as a voluntary act between an employer and employee, rather than a forcible act being shoved down the throats of folks through legislation. If that's what's happening, then you should expect that those numbers will be moderate. And they're not so moderate that they look out of line to the inflation and productivity numbers that we read. In short, the people who keep saying, well, we should have a 4% unemployment, we should have 4% wage growth, 4.5% wage growth, not 3% wage growth. If that was true, the Fed funds rate would be increasing, because in a world where people think in terms of a Phillips curve, faster wage growth rate is indicative of inflation, and that would be an indicator to monetary policy that it's too loose. Monetary policy is not too loose. If anything, it might still be a little on the tight side. I'll talk about that later. But I'll tell you this much. If the wage rate did go to 4%, I certainly would not use that as a reason for tightening monetary policy. But this 3% growth rate is not an indication that we need more stimulus. This 3% wage growth rate is simply an indication that the people that we're bringing into the workforce are people who have historically had difficulty even being in the workforce or earning median wages. As they come into the workforce, as they gain experience, as they are able to search for better and better jobs, those folks are, that wage rate will increase on its own. So when I hear people talking about focusing on, well, wages only grew at 3%, it's like, tell me why they should grow at 4. Give me your story. Because I have a pretty good story for why they should grow at 3, and why 3 is absolutely a very sustainable number, and one that's an indicator that this labor market is still very, very healthy going into whatever shock it is that we're about to, that we are in the beginning throes of right now. We'll be back after this. You are listening to the King Banyan Show on Business 1440. Going down in Louisiana to get me a mojo hand.
Social Security is with you through life's journey, from birth to retirement. As your life changes year to year, so do your needs. For over 80 years, Social Security has helped to meet your needs and is committed to improving access to the services that make a difference in your life. Today, you can verify your earnings, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement, manage your benefits, and even change your address, all from the comfort of your home. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Limitless access to business and investment strategy. Listen to Business 1440 with our free app, your smart speaker, or with iHeart, TuneIn, and Radio.com. We live in the Twin Cities and invest worldwide.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed. Also, the Army National Guard's education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Dad, guess what?
What?
You are going to be a grandfather.
That's great. Not too long ago, moments like this with my daughter would have been a challenge. It was a long road for me to find myself again after Vietnam. It was my neighbor Jim, another Vietnam veteran, who finally convinced me that I could still connect with my family and find that fulfilling life I'd lost. And I went for help down at the VA. If I can take that first step after almost 50 years, I know other veterans can too. Visit MakeTheConnection.net to find out more.
WNAV is your full-service audiovisual partner, specializing in corporate meetings, equipment rental, and installation services with a committed focus on quality and value. For more information about how WNAV can help you, visit WNAV-video.com.
The following program was pre-recorded.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show, Business 1440. 651-289-4477, the number to call. Questions, comments. Great conversation on Twitter. If you're unfamiliar with how we do this on Twitter, if you're new to the show, first of all, if you're new, awesome. Thank you for listening. There are all kinds of things you can do on a Saturday morning, and we're glad you're willing to spend a little bit of that time with us. I'm also reminded by some people that we are likely to be doing lots more things from home, so there might actually be more people listening to us actually on terrestrial radio. Of course, you can always find us at TwinCitiesBusinessRadio.com if you're interested in listening to us while you're away. It may in fact be the case that based on his most recent tweets, Don, who often tweets at us at @KBRS, is actually in travel status right now and listening to us through the cables or through the internet rather than through a plain old radio. I still remember I was looking at, oh gosh, I can't remember what I was looking at, but I think I was watching The Crown last night, and one of the characters who's leaving the castle packs a small transistor radio. How many of us remember small transistor radios? I remember always having one with me because that is, in fact, how I would listen to my Red Sox when I was a kid and we were up at the beach in the summertime. My parents would always rent a place at the beach for 1 week every summer. It was very near where they both grew up. It wasn't always the same place, but it was in that same town in a place called Wallace Sands, New Hampshire. Very, very small beach. And or York, where my parents eventually bought a house after they left New Hampshire. But you'd always pack that little transistor radio. And I love transistor radio. I love that. And I was thinking to myself just the other night, you know, I'm not really a prepper, but if all of a sudden something really weird happened and I just couldn't actually have the internet anymore or so forth, I would probably spend some time looking around the house to see if I still had a transistor radio. Eric, do you own a transistor radio, a battery-operated transistor radio?
No, I do not.
Oh, that's too bad. I recommend them.
Unless you count my cell phone as a transistor radio.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think that's probably the answer. I think the answer is we probably double our phones as radios.
Yeah, because I have Spotify, I have Apple Podcasts, yeah. I have all the great, wonderful apps from the station here, and you know that's how I listen to the radio sometimes.
Well, given that I live up in St. Cloud, I can't get the signal over the airwaves. So I have to listen to you through my phone, which is pretty much how it always happens up here. So, yeah, I suppose the phone is the substitute now. But suppose the cell towers went down.
Then we're in trouble.
Well, then we're in big trouble, aren't we? 651-289-4477 on your cell phone or landline if you still own one. We do. Anyway, I wanted to talk about Let's just reflect a little bit more on the jobs report. This was Jan Hatzius. He's the chief economist at Goldman Sachs. Yesterday on CNBC, speaking about the jobs report. Go ahead and play that clip, please, Eric.
It's a very unimportant jobs number. I don't think it really is going to have any impact on how people think about it. We already knew that the economy was actually in decent shape going into this, and this just provides some further evidence. But I don't think it really tells you whether this is going to be a temporary setback or something more extended and deeper. We don't know that based on what the jobs numbers are or any of the other numbers earlier this year.
So what does it do to expectations for March?
I think in terms of the March FOMC meeting...
I meant the jobs number,
I think the jobs number is probably going to be significantly weaker in March. That's partly just because 273,000 is above the trend, and partly because by March you might start to see some weakness in some of the areas that are hit
by pullback by consumers, high face-to-face interaction. Leisure and hospitality is a good example. That was up about 50,000 in this report, and that's quite a strong number, but I would expect some weakness there.
And that's part of the question, right? Part of the question now is what happens. There's two sides of this. We talked about this last week on the show. What we talked about, I tried to sketch out for you what a model would look like for the impact of a coronavirus hit on the United States, which now looks more likely than it did when we spoke last Saturday. I think there's going to be some impact. A lot of you've heard Kudlow, now you've heard Hatzius at Goldie. They're all talking about the impact, although I think most of the impact will be in second quarter. The March figure is likely to still be positive. Everyone's kind of holding their breath and waiting because at some point we're going to break the string of positive months of in the jobs number. Okay, the last negative number goes all the way back to 2010. And so now we've had over 120 months, well, no, take that back, 118, now 119 months of positive jobs figures. Now, there are revisions to the data, and what some positive figure out there somewhere might roll back to negative sometime when the next, next benchmarking or revisions to 5 years of jobs data happens. But be that said, there are people out there, and because everything is politics right now, there are actually people in some sense rooting for that. I don't think March is going to be that month. I was commenting on through Twitter yesterday about after the jobs report came out, and there was other negative data. So we actually had a place where I do think you saw impact, the early impact of coronavirus, and that's on international trade. Okay, so if I looked at the international trade data, what I saw was, in fact, the trade deficit came in at $45.3 billion. Imports and export activities declined, but the imports fell faster, which is reflecting the fact that we're not getting as many goods out of China as we would have expected. As Brian Westbury at First Trust noted in his note on that release, total volume of trade, imports plus exports, declined 1.1% in January, down 0.8% versus year ago levels. So it's not good news, and February is likely to be even worse. Look, in terms of what happened in China, Lunar New Year happens the last week. Lunar New Year happens, and it actually at the end of January. If you use Chinese inputs in your supply chain, you automatically stock up in January. You always stock up in January. And given that we are beginning to get reports about coronavirus, some manufacturers here in the States actually stuff their channels with extra product to come in here. But Lunar New Year starts in January and ends in the first week of February. And remember, the Chinese told their folks to stay away from work for an extra week or two. It takes about 30 days for those goods to get here. So the impact of the closing of those supply chains is only coming online right about now. So I don't think you're going to see an impact in March very much from this. I don't think the impact really can show up till April, because rational businesses probably took care of some of their supply issues. And if, in fact, places are actually working again and putting things back into process, this is a one-quarter impact. The second-quarter numbers are going to be weak regardless. Eric, go ahead if you got a question from a caller that you wanted to stick in there.
Yes, I did. The caller was just inquiring about the import of rice from China and Vietnam. A lot of the restaurants, like on the Skyway in downtown St. Paul, could be you know, closing for the foreseeable future because rice cannot be imported, so they have to, you know, substitute in, say, potatoes for the rice. So yeah. What's your take on that?
My thought, so I think there are lots of places you can get rice from, so there'll be substitutes, but I think what you'll see is, it's a great question. And I think of it in this way, okay? If you go to I imagine, Eric, because you probably still have the love for those things, I no longer go to Chinese buffets. But do you like going to a Chinese buffet?
Not as often as I would like, but I mean, I wouldn't turn down a Chinese buffet or anything like that.
And you wouldn't turn them down now, even in the face of potentially coronavirus.
I might reconsider, but I mean, before, you know, it was, you know, pretty not a regular spot, but I would go there every once in a while.
So I don't think anyone should change their behavior I don't think you should change your behavior toward Chinese buffets versus buffets generally. If you have concerns about food being contaminated, it's all food. It's not just rice from China. And when you're in the buffet line, you have no idea where that rice came from anyway. So I wouldn't do that. But I think in general, yeah, I think you're likely to see some increase. Although I don't remember this statistic as a fact or not, Eric, but or the caller who was asking, I know China is a net importer of soybean. I know they were working toward increasing the quality of rice in China by not double planting, because if you double plant on a piece of land for rice, the quality of the rice you get back is worse. So I know that they were, and that indicates to me that they probably were not importing much rice. But they may have to now. My guess is China is now going to be a net importer of rice, which means the price of rice is going to go up. But China's responding by telling their ag sector to double plant, which means probably there'll be more rice out there, but the quality of that rice is likely to be a lot poorer. So to get good rice, you may even see the Chinese buffet put out French fries. Wouldn't that be interesting? I don't know. That's a super good question, Eric. I love that question. Thank you. Thank you, caller, for that. 651-289-4477 with those questions. That's really interesting. Let me get back to, we'll come back and talk more about this. We're going to talk about what the Federal Reserve did last week too, which is a huge bit of news, and we'll get to that right after this King Banyan Show. Business 1440.
Sitting in the kitchen, a house of bacon.
Business 1440 is KYCR Golden Valley.
Your first year of Christian school is half price through TwinCitiesTuitions.com. If you see public school as a negative influence on your child's faith, it's time to make a change. To find out more about our half-price Christian school tuition program, visit TwinCitiesTuitions.com.
If you are experiencing hair loss, let this be the year to make a new hair's resolution. I'd like to introduce you to the only permanent solution to hair loss, IneedMoreHair.com. Hi, I'm Mike Greenlee, familiar voice with Minnesota hockey fans. If you have hair loss and want more hair, go to IneedMoreHair.com. You will find some of the most experienced hair transplant specialists in Minnesota. Their doctors have given patients from around the world, including some of the most prominent celebrities, a full head of hair, and they can do the same for you. Here's the best part. Their technique is so advanced, the results are guaranteed in writing, and their prices are the best in the business. Prices as low as $3 per graft. Their office is conveniently located in Eagan. IneedMoreHair.com will allow you to see a more confident reflection of yourself. That's IneedMoreHair.com. The consultations are free, and the results are amazing. Check out IneedMoreHair.com for complete details. That's IneedMoreHair.com. Experience you can trust. Prices you can afford. Let this be the year to make a new hair's resolution. Check out IneedMoreHair.com.
Proud life across America, the billboard people.
I
remember when we found out we were expecting you, and we were so surprised.
You were?
Yep, but then we heard your heartbeat and knew you were going to change our lives.
What happened after that?
Well, you grew and grew in my tummy. You started kicking, sucking your thumb, and even making a fist.
No wonder I was a surprise.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org. Or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people.
When it comes to replacing your windows and doors, ignorance is not bliss. You only want to have to do it once, and you don't want to make a mistake. Great Plains Windows and Doors has been helping homeowners all over the Twin Cities with their replacement needs, utilizing the entire line of Anderson Core product, including the most popular 400 series, which contractors trust the most, and they're made right here in Minnesota. Now that sounds like bliss. For a truly remarkable experience, contact Great Plains Windows and Doors at greatplainswindows.com.
Listen to the King Banyan Show Saturday mornings at 9, live on Business 1440. It's the latest economic news, trade information, updates on the jobs report, and much more. Join us this Saturday at 9 a.m. here on Business 1440.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring.
Oh, I'm trying to remember. There was a version of this done in the early 80s by a punk band that was amazingly good. I thought it took a lot of courage to try to do a Johnny Cash cover, but they pulled it off. I can't remember the name of the band right now. They're an L.A. band. Anyway. 651-289-4477. King Banyan Show on Business 1440. So, last week we covered the supply story. And as I said to you last week, even though I called my shot, I said the Fed was going to do an inter meeting cut. I was in favor of doing 25. As you know, they did 50. And there's been a lot of caterwauling since that moment. If you're a fan of this show, caterwauling is probably on your bingo card, is words I like to use. There was a lot of discussion that they wasted their shot. Here is the economic way of thinking about what it is you're trying to do. There are two possible impacts here. Two ways to think about, is it possible that the Fed did the right thing by cutting interest rates? One of them, which relates to the job story, this is Jan Hatzius again, but this was actually from Monday, not from yesterday after the jobs report, but this is well in advance of the jobs report. Monday, maybe it's Tuesday. I'm not sure I got the date right. But this was Hatzius talking about an impact not on supply and supply chains, but in fact instead on demand. Play that clip for me, please.
A risk aversion shock potentially. So we are building in, you know, some pullback in consumer categories that involve a lot of face-to-face interaction as we see more cases of coronavirus in the United States. Obviously, all highly uncertain. A lot of it depends really on the epidemiology as opposed to the economics. But then there's also the question of how do consumers respond to reports of increasing cases, but I think that would be a demand shock and really a risk aversion shock, not in the market sense necessarily so much, but in terms of how consumers behave.
What's your sense?
Okay, so that's a very important point. Last week I talked about the impact on supply chains, but this week I want to talk about is there such a thing as a demand shock happening here? And if there is a demand shock happening, why would it happen here in the United States more than any other place? I tweeted to you a piece that was in the New York Times yesterday from Austin Goolsbee. He was the head of the Council of Economic Advisors for President Obama. So grade him on that. But just because he was an Obama economist doesn't mean he's a bad economist. He's a great economist. He's really, the work he did on tax incidence work back in the 90s and early 2000s is still stuff that we cite regularly. So good, good economist. But his view is that we have lots of high-touch events. I work at a university. We've actually stopped students from traveling overseas, not just to China or Italy, but we've said, here at St. Cloud State, but the entire Minnesota State system has said, we're not going to have our students traveling on, and we're not going to have our faculty traveling. We're going to tell them not to travel right now outside of the country. That may not be enough. The University of Washington yesterday announced that for the next 3 weeks, all their classes are going up online and no one's to come to campus. They have 50,000 students that go through that place. 50,000 students. Stanford this morning, overnight, announced that they're going to do it for 2 weeks. University of Southern California is going to try to go everybody online for about 3 days and see if that works. And they may extend it if it turns out to be okay. Right? Do you want to go to the theater? Do you want to go? I'm on a board of a theater. We're still operating, but we send notes to any patron, you know, who bought a ticket from us to say, look, if you're sick, please stay home. There are lots of events out there, and that's not a supply shock. That's a demand shock. And if it turns out there's been a demand shock of some kind, that shock is something which monetary and fiscal policy can act upon. It can't fix a supply chain problem. It can't fix the issue that your part that you needed is no longer coming on the boat. That's not possible. But what they can do, what it can fix, in fact, is to make up for some of those places. And particularly in industries like leisure and hospitality that we talked about is being helped by the jobs report. Those places are likely to be the places that are hit most by this. And that's a demand side thing. And that might be something that needs to be, that might be something to address. Take that into our next hour as we talk about, did the Fed waste 50 basis points? Right after this, you're listening to the King Banyan Show on Business 1440.
Impact Mortgage Corp. DBA Cash Call Mortgage. NMLS ID 128231. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in all states, including New York. Offer not available in Washington. Call 855. Impact Mortgage Corp. DBA Cash Call Mortgage. NMLS ID 128231. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in all states, including New York. Offer not available in Washington. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing terms and restrictions.
You see it on TV every day. Global turmoil. But these international events have kept interest rates low. At Cash Call Mortgage, we've responded by dropping our already low interest rates even more this year. If you have a mortgage interest rate above 2.99%, call us today and see how much you can save. Working with one of those big banks can be frustrating. Give us a call instead. It only takes a few minutes and all our quotes are free. We're a direct lender and can close your refi in as fast as 20 days with no upfront deposit. If you qualify, we'll even pay your closing costs. Now is the time to lock in a low rate before it's gone. So refinance with Cash Call Mortgage. For a free quote, go to cashcallmortgage.com. Or call 800-289-5013. That's 800-289-5013. 800-289-5013.
When it comes to retirement planning, it seems like everyone has an opinion. Who's right and who's wrong? Tune in to this week's Money Matters with Al and Mike. They'll be talking about retirement myths, things that you hear over and over that simply are not true and actually can put your retirement in jeopardy. Al and Mike will help you sort out fact from fiction this week. So make sure you listen to Money Matters with Al and Mike, 2 p.m. Sunday on Business 1440, or call them right now with your questions, 855-231-6010.
Runners, to your mark. Set.
Some may see a sprinter. At the NFHS, we see a future leader already off to the races. Some may see a volleyball player.
One hit! Way to go, girl! Woo!
At the NFHS, we see a spike in confidence that will help her achieve her potential. What else do we see? Musicians learning to march to their own beat. We're the NFHS, the national leader and advocate for high school athletics and activities in America, helping today's teenagers develop the skills they need to become tomorrow's leaders. And we see it happening in communities across Minnesota every single day. Learn more about the NFHS commitment to youth at nfhs.org. This message presented by the NFHS, the National Federation of State High School Associations.
If you could build the world's greatest radio station, where would you start? We'd begin by creating a live station that's able to provide breaking news updates. Then we'd install some of today's top political voices behind the mic. Finally, we'd craft a convenient way to listen with a specialized mobile app. No, it's not a work in progress. It's on the air now. AM 1280, The Patriot. Intelligent radio. Online at am1280thepatriot.com.